And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. Bible students, this is common ground. God's instructing Moses to instruct the children. That's the way it works. God tells his man tells the people. God hadn't changed anything that way. He's instructing his man on what to do, and he tells him that when you get there, you're going to set up some cities for refuge. Now the thing about the city was this, that the city was for the one that had killed someone unaware. I hate to break the news to you tonight, but if you're here and you're lost, you've not maybe not come to the knowledge that your sin put someone on a cross one time and you killed someone. You may be unaware of it tonight, but I want to make you aware that you've got somewhere to go. These six cities aren't described. They aren't given by name. Here in Numbers, you'll have to go to Joshua to find the names of these cities. And I've done a little study on the names. Names are very important. And when I begin to see, I'm going to give them to you tonight in the order that God gave them to us in His Word. Because I want you to know tonight that sometimes we need to be reminded that we've got somewhere to go. You know, we come to church, we hear the preaching, we do the goalpost. I like that, brother. Hey, we get excited, might get a little shook up. But listen, sometimes we forget that we've got somewhere to go. Each one of these cities is this. It's a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got nothing new to tell you tonight, friend. All my stuff's as old as the ages. I don't have any new stuff. I even preach out of an old Bible, praise God. It's an old story, but these cities are still the same. May I say by the righteousness of Christ tonight that you that are saved have a right to seek that city of refuge that you might most need tonight. There's six cities. And the cities begin like this. The cities begin with Kadesh. That means this. It means to be clean or to be holy. Is that a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's see if it is. There's a little version, and if your book says anything other than that, throw it away and go get you a real Bible. There's a little virgin standing on a hillside in a place called Nazareth. Why do you know it's a hillside, preacher? Because I've seen it, and there's a lot of hills in Nazareth. And the angel showed up one night, and the angel said unto her, said, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. He come by Crossville, Tennessee one day, brother, and I found favor with him. I didn't deserve it, but it shined His favor over in front of me. Said, thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call His name Jesus. What a name! There's not another name like that name. Bless God, that's the name of names. Shall call His name Jesus. He shall be great. And He shall be called the Son of the Highest. Woo. Ain't that good? He said this. The angel speaking here. He said, and the Lord said, He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Weren't no man had anything to do with this. I'm about to have a fit. Weren't no flesh put his hand on her. No, she said, how shall this be? Said, I know not a man. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also this holy thing, somebody ought to shout, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Holy! Holy in His birth. Holy in His life. Holy. Was He holy in His life? Well, a Hebrew writer said it like this. Said He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. I like you on the front row, brother. I'm going to take Him with me wherever I go. Holy in His birth. Holy in His life. Holy in His death. Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Holy in His death. Holy in His resurrection. How do you know? Because He's talking to the Philadelphia church in the book of Revelation. And He said, these things saith He that is holy. Why do you say all that, preacher? Why is it so important that He's holy? Because the Hebrew writer also said that without holiness no man shall see. I think that's a big deal. You see, He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. How can I do that? Because I'm not undefiled and separate from sinners, because I was a natural born sinner. Had a real problem. Heard about a city one time. Needed to get holy. Where'd I go? I ran to Kadesh. What does that mean, brother? That means I'm accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. I got right every time I get a little something on me. I need to go back to Kadesh. Don't mean I'm born again. I'm not talking that stuff. I'm talking about you in this world. You're going to get some stuff on you. You need to get back, get washed off. Get down to the city of Kadesh. And what's the holy role? I probably scared somebody here. I said, holy role. I know that I'm hard to keep up with those cameras. I don't apologize. You can turn them off and just listen. You don't have to watch me. One woman said, you're like watching a tennis match. You drive me crazy. I said, shut your eyes and open your ears. I don't want you looking. I want you listening. Praise God. Holy. Oh, when I leave in that city, I run to Kadesh. City number two, or I'll never get finished. Those that have taken a trip to Israel are familiar with this ground called Shechem. Shechem. It means to shoulder a burden. Oh, do I need that? Do I need that? I'm just going to be brutally honest tonight. 2011 may be the toughest year of my ministry. In 2011, there's times that I got in a... God, let me... There's times I got in an automobile on Sunday night and started toward church and told my wife, said, I don't know if I can go through the door. I had this and fighting with that and that and fighting with this one. I felt like cutting me about a 5-foot hickory limb, walk in there one night and lay the hide off about 2/3 of them. But that little core group, that little flock, fear not, little flock, that little flock, that's that core group that's with a kind word or an encouragement. And I'd say, oh God, I got to go in the door. Hey, I need to get the shackle. Well, I need somebody to carry that burden for me. What does that mean, preacher? That means you can't lay something on those shoulders, bless God, that He can't carry. I say, Lord, here I go again, Lord. Carry, He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. Cast it on Him. Say, Lord, will you carry this for me? You know what He says? Why, sure. Why, sure. There's nothing that you'll face in this life that He isn't able to bear. I've seen sickness. I've seen divorce. I'm not condemning you tonight if you're divorced, but I'll just tell you this. I'm sick of divorce. I'm sick to death of it. That's quiet. It just killed the whole meeting right there. I said, everybody wants the better part, but they don't want the worst. When I perform the ceremony, you know what I say? Better or worse. And I say, for a lot of you, it's going to be more worse than there is better. Then I try to encourage you, and I say, God, I'm not doing them any good. They're not listening to a thing I say. Carry this for me, Lord. Amen. Carry this for me. One day I was in the prayer room. Bless God. He come by and breathed on me. The burden disappeared. What I do, you preacher? I got in the shackle. Bless God. Laid that burden on His shoulder. He rubbed plumb off with it. It's at your tonight. You know what it is? We're like this. Country people. I'm a country boy. I mean cornbread. Cornbread country. And us country people like to do it like this. I got this. I've got it. I can do it. Steve, you can't do it. I can't do it. He can do it. He can do it. And He wants to do it. He's waiting on you to say, oh Lord, I can't do it. He said, that's all I've been waiting on. Now watch me do it. See? Sickness. Difficulties, all burdens. Shekel means to shoulder a burden. Kirjath Arba, Hebron. But I like the definition of Kirjath Arba. It meant this. It means to interpose. Huh? Interpose. To come between. To come between. You see, I had a problem, as I mentioned earlier. And we've all got one. Saved to the uttermost. Bless God forever. But you've got a problem. Because the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. John said it like this. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. That's what John said, by the way. That wasn't Hillbilly Mike. That's just John. So I have a problem. But see, there was somebody come. How many of you been to Israel? You been? And got baptized in the Jordan? I'm telling you what, I couldn't hardly take it. We splashed that thing dry. We shouted her out. They quit watching. They quit baptizing up above and below us and turned around and started watching us. We had a time. Because, see, I knew that where I was standing, it was unlikely on that cement walkway that Jesus stood there. But somewhere in that very river, the old wild man John's standing out there one day, and he says this. Somebody coming walking down the riverbank. Do you understand all that hillbilly slang right there? I'm among friends, aren't I? You ought to see me preach in Ohio. They go, huh? Huh? I get through, I have to interpret about half my message. John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Somebody coming between us and our sin. Can I tell you a story right quick? I read this. Then I heard another preacher tell it. I don't know if he got it from the same source I did or not, but you might have read it also. There's a missionary. I have a heart for missionaries. I love you people that are missionaries. They sell out and go. They sell their stuff. They don't worry about coats and ties and shiny shoes. They just sell out and go. And this missionary had gone. He'd gone into a tribal area. And the chief in this tribal area, there was two things about the tribe. Said the way the tribe was ruled was by the strongest or the wisest. Just so happened that the chief was the strongest and the wisest both. And a missionary, though they knew not Christ, they had never been trained with the gospel or heard the gospel, they had no problems within their tribe. Why? Because the chief's the biggest. And he's the wisest and all things were well. But they said one day, he said that in the midst of this guy was just, he couldn't get over the fact that this tribe live with such peace and contentment. Remember, the heart's deceitfully wicked. Deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. And said one day someone come to the chief and said, you're not going to believe this. But said someone has taken some possessions from someone else's hut. He said, not here. He said, make the announcement that if they're found out, we're going to give them 5 lashes. So they spread the news, spread the word. None was given. No one said a word. A day or two later, they came back to the chief and said, something else has been taken. Chief's a little perturbed. He says, tell them that we're going to give 10 lashes. They better bring it back. They didn't bring it back. Third time, something else was going missing. Chief gave the story. He said, look, someone's going to get 20 lashes. They're meeting one morning and said all of a sudden the crowd began to go, and said, someone ran up to the chief and said, we found the thief. He said, bring them forward. And as the crowd began to part, the chief looked out on the crowd, and there stood his mother. They said, he'll never give her lashes. That's his mama. He said, I said we was going to give 20 lashes when the thief was found, tied to the stake in the center of the compound. Said they took that little frail woman and tied her hands to that pole. He said, bring out the man with the whip. And the man came out there with the whip, and there's this little frail woman tied to the post. They said, the man with the whip, Chris, stepped back and said he unfurled it and said, the tribal chief said, hold it. And said he stood up and said he untied his robe from around his neck. And said he walked over to that post and put them big hands up over that post and leaned over that little woman and he said, you let the whipping begin. And they said 20 stripes was laid on him. And you know what? He bore it. And you know why, Randy? Because he loved her. Let me tell you, there's an old sinner boy named Mike McCord one time. Somebody went to a tree. He took off the robe and he laid on that tree and they put the stripes on him. And with his stripes I am healed. I'll say, bless the name of God. It makes a difference today. We need an interposer. I'm glad I've been to Kirjatharba. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? He took your whipping for you. You'll accept it now or you'll get it later. I was raised in a house. My daddy was a truck driver. He wasn't home very often. If my mama ever said, boy, you're getting a whipping, I didn't talk my way out of it. I sure didn't run and hide. You know what I got? I got a whipping. And if it was bad enough, it was a whooping. And there's a difference. He took that for us. He took that for us. Let me go on. The next one is Beezer. It amazed me as I looked at these on the map. If you look at these in the order that God gave them and trace them out with a pencil, you know what it says? You. You just trace them out. Start at Kadesh, come over to Beezer, and go right on up to where I'm going to finish, and it'll draw you. Chew on that for about 2 or 3 days. But Beezer means this. It means to be fortified. The Lord's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, and my strength. He puts Himself around me sometimes. He's in me all the time. I'll tell another quick story if I could. My uncle was in the Korean War. How many veterans we got in here tonight? Anyone in the Korean War? Anyone in the Korean War? Korean War veteran right there. My uncle was in a Korean. They call it a conflict. Let me tell you, when you're shooting at each other and killing one another, it's a war. Bunch of moronic politicians. Amen! Got that in. He's down there. My uncle's over there. My grandmother's a praying woman. I mean a godly woman. About that tall. Just full of God. My uncle's writing her letters. She gets these letters. She's getting a letter pretty often for it to have been over there and him in the war zone. He's one of these little fellas. He wasn't very big. He took after his mama. He went behind the lines. He'd direct fire and mortar in and come back and report to them where the enemy was. So here he is. He's in this and the letter quit coming. And Granny got scared. When I use the word granny, that is not without respect. I mean, that's complete respect. Yeah. Granny got scared. My aunt said one day she walked outside the house and said under the apple tree. Granny had all them letters spread out. My uncle had been writing it. Said she's down on her knees like this praying over those letters. Said in about 3 weeks, said, another letter come. Talking about being in Beezer, sometimes you need to be fortified. Amen. Said another letter come, and here's what the letter said along this line. He said, Mom, said, I've been behind the enemy lines for a little while. Said, I got myself into trouble. Said, I got cut off from my company. You must have been a praying. Said one night, said I couldn't find my way out, and said I heard the enemy coming, and said they were all over me. Said I didn't know what to do, and he said in the dark I just began to feel around. He said I found a rock. He said, then that rock. said, I mean, there's not many rocks where he was. He said, and in that rock, he said, there was a hole. And he said, it's just big enough for me to get up in it. He said, the enemy walked all over me, Mom. But they never saw me. He said, I was hid. He said, I was hid. He said, I was hid in a rock. Bless God, if you've got something bothering you, sometimes you just need to crawl in the cleft of the rock. You may need a trip to Beezer tonight. Just crawl up in there. If I break this thing, I'll pay for it. We're headed up the hill now. We're at the Ramoth, city number 6. Does he sound like Jesus to you? City number 5, excuse me. Ramoth, yeah, I'm sorry, honey. I'm crying so hard I can't read my paper. Ramoth is this, it's something high in value. Is that him? Nothing like him. For we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, our sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. You're looking to the richest poor boy you ever feast your eyes on. I just hadn't claimed the prize yet, but I'm headed that way. I read this book out of a story compiled by Kay Arthur. You know who she is? I don't know if her and Job's any relation. I don't know. May spell their names differently. She compiled the story, so if you read some of her books, you probably heard it. Little girl standing at the cash register with Mama. I'm talking about something high in value. You stay with me. We're headed home. She's standing at the cash register, and at the cash register, there's a pink foil box, and inside that box is some plastic pearls. And she said, Mama, I want those plastic pearls. She said, how much money do you have? Boy, there's a good lesson. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. We learned that down in the country a long time ago. I'm not running for office. I'm just telling you that's good, common horse sense. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. She said, you have a job? You're having money? She said, well, she said, I've got about 35 cents. Well, that's $1.98, honey. You don't have enough. So she went home. Here's another novel idea. She went to work for it. My Bible said if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. That's what the Bible said. I believe the Bible. Amen. She went to work. She picked daisies. They gave her a little money. Made her bed. Her granny gave her a dollar. She had enough money. She goes back to the store. She buys a pink foil box with the white plastic pearls. Puts them around her neck. And she wears them everywhere she goes, except in the bathtub. And they said it'd turn her neck green, so she didn't wear them. And she took them out. And she wore those pearls all the time. She had a loving daddy. I thought of Callie today when I was thinking of this, Chris. And daddy'd go in. And he'd talk to his little girl at night. Mom and dad, talk to your children. Talk to them. And you don't have to, hey, dude, what's up, man? All this. Just look them in the face and talk to them like a normal human being. Say, son, what's wrong? Can I help you? I love you. The daddy took care of the child, went in, read the little girl's story each night, told her he loved her. Boy, that's a good point. I got a 27-year-old son walk up in a crowd and kiss me on the cheek. Say, I love you, daddy. He come in one night and he said, "Look, honey," said, "do you love your daddy?" She said, "You know I do, daddy." He said, "Well, give me your pearls. Take my pink pony, daddy, but let me keep my pearls. I love you, honey." He leaves the room. A night or two later, he comes in. He says, "Honey, do you love your daddy?" She said, "Daddy, you know I do. Give me your pearls." She said, "Daddy, take my baby doll that Granny bought me." He said, "Take something else off the shelf. But Daddy, don't take my pearls. I love my pearls, Daddy." Are you with me? Night or two later, Daddy comes in. The little girl's sitting Indian style in the bed with her hands behind her back and her chin's quivering and tears are flowing down her face. And he said, "Honey, what's wrong?" He said, the little girl, without saying a word, pulled her hand from behind her back and there was in plastic pearls. And she said, "I love you, Daddy. I love you more than my pearls. You can have my pearls." Said, "Daddy reached out with one hand and picked up them plastic pearls and reached in his pocket with his other hand and pulled out a black velvet box. Oh. Put them plastic pearls in his pocket and opened that box up and there was a set of genuine. Wear them in the bathtub. Real pearls. You see, Daddy had them all along. And he's got it in his hand tonight. We're content with the plastic pearls of this world. He's got stuff far better than that for you. I'll say, give it to your daddy and let him give you what he wants you to have." People are satisfied with plastic pearls in ministry. They're satisfied with plastic pearls in their witness. They're satisfied with plastic pearls in their study time, their devotion. They're satisfied with plastic pearls on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Same old message. That boy's going to preach the same thing. I've heard that before. But I tell you, you get rid of the plastic stuff and say, "Daddy, give me the real pearls," and watch your life change. It'll change you. Sometimes we just need to get the rain off. Golan's the last city. We didn't get to go there when I was in Israel in 99 because it was kind of having a little skirmish, a little threat. But Golan means to be lifted up or carried away captive. Does that sound like Jesus? We sing about it tonight. I told Brother Barron, I said, "I'm going to mention that." You see, one of these days, he's carried me away in the spirit. One of these days, he's going to change me. And he's going to take me with him. Here's for all the people that don't like shouting. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a... My wife said, "I'm not a shouter." She's not. We was in a meeting one night down at country church where they still had the windows raised up. Whisper come in, lit on her. She said, "If that thing had stung me, I'd have shouted." I said, "I praise God, if it had, I'd have kicked a hole in the wall. I'd have thought, hallelujah!" She said, "Everybody's not loud like you are." I said, "They ought to be, praise God." The Lord Himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And I know, listen, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but I'm pouring out of the right pot. My wife is not a shouter, and she's spiritual though. One of these days she'll be a shouter. She's just not right now. So those that I just offended, you're not a shouter right now, but one of these days I hope I'm standing right beside you when you go, "Whoa, holy!" Yeah. It'll be good. You're going to think, "Why didn't I do that 100 times?
Yeah.
Let me stop real quick right here. You ever think about this? There's 6 cities. There's 6 cities. God never stopped at 6. 6 is the number of man. Oh, there's another city. We just hadn't got there yet, Brother Leonard. But we are going one day. Brother Leonard said in the prayer room tonight, he said, "I'm a moving to town one day." Praise God, it may be closer than we know. That's old country boys are going to move. John said, "I saw New Jerusalem." Praise God. Coming down from God out of heaven. There's another city. I'm telling you, it is ours for the taking. Are you going there?